What I'm going to share this morning is a practical sort of follow-up, finishing touch word for those who've gone through the weekend. It's a word for all of us. For CTKers, it's going to sound a lot like some things I've shared lately. But I did everything this weekend, teaching everything from the story of the woman at the well. So I wanted to finish it up that way. And so again, if I say something familiar that I even said a couple weeks ago or before that, just let the Lord cause it to sink into your heart and be something practical. But I'm doing this very intentionally. I thought about going somewhere else, and CTKers have heard what I'm going to say, at least in from some direction. But I really sense this is the word for us. And so just let God speak and do what he wants to do. What we've looked at so far this weekend is the story in John chapter 4, kind of begins in John 3, the verses I read earlier, from her perspective, and how she encountered him and drank from living water, and it transformed her life. This woman who had been married 5 times and was now living with a man, and so in her immorality and her brokenness and her disappointment and her pain and devastation and her social rejection and the resentment and bitterness that she must have had, the defensiveness and self-hatred that she must have walked in after decades of misery and pain and abandonment. She not only encounters him in a transformational way, but she carried revival in that whole area. Of all the people that God would pick, he picked this broken person to carry revival into Sychar, and the whole village, the whole area gave their lives to Jesus. And so we've just been kind of looking at that from her perspective and her encounter with the Lord. We've looked at the goodness of God. But because the time is short, I just want to give an abbreviated word about walking in faith and look at the story from Jesus' point of view. Because even though we know Jesus was God, again, very God, nothing less than God, 100% God, he was also 100% man. And scripture tells us, church tells us, church history tells us that Jesus walked in what's called the kenosis, the self-emptying. And even though he was God and very God, he lived on earth as man, filled with the Holy Spirit. So that he didn't just die for us, he lived for us. He showed us how, as second Adam, man was intended to live by faith, filled with the Holy Spirit. He could have acted out of his deity at any time, but he chose not to. He even said in John 14:10, it's the Father who does the works through me. And so we're going to come at it from that perspective, because the scripture says that the just shall live by faith. It says that in the Old Testament once, in Habakkuk, and twice in the New Testament. The Christian life, life with God, is a life of faith. But it says about Jesus that he was the author and the perfecter of faith. Jesus got it right every minute, all the time, in living by faith. He was tempted in every way like unto us, yet without sin. So he knew the horror of temptation, but also the wonders of victory. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have temptation. That's really the same word, and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And this Christ who's overcome the world now lives inside of you. We talked about what eternal life was this weekend. Eternal life isn't just something that you do forever. If that were true, then even the people who go to hell are doing eternal life because they live forever, just not in a very good place. But eternal life is a quality of life that the Holy Spirit brings to us. And it's the love of the Father shed abroad, poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the life of Christ lived out through you by the Holy Spirit. That's the wonders of this eternal life thing that we're called to walk in. And Jesus, as man, carried that himself. And just as one writer said, he didn't just come to be an example for us, he came to be an example in the incarnation of us. Mankind, as God created us to live and to walk. Okay? So all that is to sort of prepare you for just a few simple things. The scriptures that I read, again, John chapter 3, let me just read them to you again. John is speaking of Jesus. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he bears witness. And no man receives his witness, but those who do receive his witness can testify that God is real. And then it says about Jesus, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, and the Lord gives his spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. That's the same thing in John chapter 13. Is that kind of hollow, this sound, like I'm in a cave? Sounds like it to me. But not. Oh, if it sounds good to you, then that's what's matter. Alrighty. Jesus lived by faith. So I'm going to kind of do this in little, like, nuggets because of time, okay? So just give you some things and trust the Holy Spirit will run with them even as you go home. Jesus lived by faith, and his life of faith flowed out of his union with his Father, and that he cultivated intimacy with his Father. Jesus talked about being taught. Well, as God, he didn't need to be taught anything. But he says in John 8, the Father taught him. And so we looked at a couple weeks ago here at CTK, this scripture, John 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. And what Jesus did, he revealed the likeness of his Father. We're called to reveal the likeness of his Son. We're called to be Christ-like, not by imitation, not by straining and struggling, but by participation in his very life and manifestation of his life. Jesus bore the likeness of his Father, not by memorization or by imitation, but through union with his Father. There was a mutual indwelling by participation by the Holy Spirit in his Father's very life and the manifestation of the life of the Father. I said this before, for sadly, most Christians live their Christian life like this. They live their Christian life fighting to come to a place of union, oneness, and favor and victory, anointing, fighting for that place from which they can live. But the truth is, the scripture says you were born into union and favor and anointing and victory, and it's from that place that you fight the good fight. It's a huge difference. Jesus said about his relationship with the Father as the Son of Man on three different occasions. We won't look at the scriptures because of the time. If you think I'm blaspheming, you can go look it up yourself. Jesus said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. There's this mutual indwelling. And then he says about us, he says, and on that day, beginning at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes and invades us. He says, you will be in me, and I will be in you. That's why he was able to say in John 20, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Just as the Father has sent me by the Holy Spirit, making mutual indwelling happen, union happen, by the Holy Spirit, the very life of the Father, I have borne witness of his life. And by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're called through mutual indwelling to bear witness of my life, to be Christ-like. The church, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, is what? The fullness of him who fills all and who's in all. He's called us to experience, to carry, and to release the fullness of Jesus everywhere we go, everywhere we live, everywhere we work, and everywhere we play. And Jesus cultivated that union. It says in verse 18, he didn't just explain the Father, but he says, Jesus, the Son, or the begotten of God, who was in the bosom of the Father. And we saw this 2 weeks ago. The word literally is into the bosom of the Father. Jesus lived his life pressing into intimacy. Just like John laid his head between the rest of Jesus. Just as the blessing of Benjamin, that he would dwell between God's shoulders all of his life as God's beloved. We're called, we're born into union. But that union, your experience of union, is cultivated in intimacy. We could do a whole nother, like, forever just talking about that.
Amen.
But understand that. You're born into union with Jesus. And everything that Jesus has, you have. All that Jesus is belongs to you. Just as it said that the Father put all, he loves his Son and put everything into his hands. Gave him everything. John chapter 16, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's job is to make real to you all that I am and all that I have. And all that I am and all that I have is all that the Father has. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to make all that real in you. And so you're born into the kingdom possessing all that Jesus is, for all that you need, all the time, in every situation. But it's through intimacy that that's cultivated, that it's nurtured, that we become familiar with the co-indwelling. All right? That's not like a quick fix how-to, but to the degree that you're committed to intimacy is the degree to which you'll experience his adequacy and the degree to which he'll involve you in his ministry. Because the depth of your relationship with God will determine the width of your influence among people. Now, having said that, day-to-day stuff. Jesus believed, and you've heard this before a lot at CTK, like almost, was it 50 times we counted? I got it all marked. In the Gospel of John alone, Jesus said, referred to himself as someone who was sent. It says again in John chapter 3, I just read to you, and he whom the Father God has sent. In verse 34 of John 4, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus didn't believe that anything happened in his life by happenstance, by bad luck, by circumstance, or under the government and control of other people's choices. He believed he was sent. And because his meat was to do the will of his Father, he never complained. You never have an example of Jesus complaining. One of the real manifestations of a person who's absolutely, totally yielded to Christ is we don't live griping and complaining and murmuring. This passage in John chapter 4, the very first part of it, and he says, and Jesus left Judea, where his popularity at this point was swelling, and the Jews were all running to him because they heard that they were baptizing more than John the Baptist. It says, Jesus departed again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. Now, I don't know whether he had to pass through Samaria because it was the shortcut, because a lot of Jews didn't take that shortcut because they didn't want anything to do with the Samaritans. So I don't know if he had to pass through because it was a shortcut, or he had to pass through because he only did those things he saw the Father doing and only said those things he heard the Father saying, and he felt compelled to pass through Samaria. I don't know. But it says that when he shows up there at the middle of the day, he sends his disciples away to go get food in Sychar. I think he sent them away also because he, at this point, is getting at what the Father's about to do. And I don't think he trusted them with this woman, because they didn't see like Jesus saw. And so he sent them away, and he's sitting, it says, by the well, weary from his journey. What a setup. Had to go somewhere he might not have wanted to go. Weary from his journey. Aren't all those some of the excuses that we use to gripe and complain? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't gripe and complain? I didn't really want to come this way, Father. I'm really tired. I know you're up to something, but I'm really weary from the journey. You ever gotten weary from the journey? Just the battles, just the stuff that goes on? Weary in the journey? I'm so glad that Jesus didn't do that. And as I've said to you before, how many times, how often are we going to keep living demanding that God give us things he seems to be determined to protect us from? Well, Lord, this isn't a good place. I want to get out of here. Well, if God thought it was a better place for you to get out of there, he would get you out of there. But we continue to demand God give us things he seems determined to protect us from. We never see that in Jesus. He really believed that somebody was ordering his steps, who loved him more, who had full of wisdom, and that everything he did, he was sent. Like we used the example this week, you end up in the wrong line at Walmart, in the back of the line, and you gripe and complain in your heart. You don't believe you were sent. That's how the surrendered life is played out in the most practical things, stuck in the traffic. Alrighty? Here's the other thing, is that Jesus had the mind of an overcomer. Hear these verses again. These have fascinated me in the last several months. He who comes from above is above all. And he who is from the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from above is above all. And what he has seen and heard, these are the things he bears witness of. Now remember again in John chapter 8 when he's speaking to the Jews and he says to them, you are of the earth, I'm not of the earth. You're from below, I'm from above. Now is Jesus speaking to that as God? Or is he speaking that as the Son of Man who carried eternal life with him? Is that relevant to those of us who've also been seated in the heavenly places in Christ? And I believe that what he's saying here, and if you read earlier in the chapter, is that even though Jesus wasn't ascended yet, he had an ascended mind, he had a heavenly mind, and I believe that Jesus approached life as somebody with an above-life perspective. In other words, what this scripture says is this, is that Jesus refused to believe or speak Earth's report about people or situations ever. Let me just tell you how important that is. The enemy, now hear this, the devil has no authority over you, period. It says that Jesus, the Father, gave him how much authority? Not some, did it? Everybody look up and hear me. This is important. This is a game changer, in case your thinking's wrong. The devil has no authority over you. And if you believe that, then you believe the biggest lie of the devil. Amen. And that's Amen. The open door that he has. Amen. The devil has no authority over you unless you come into agreement with him. Amen. He's got power. There's no question he has power. But scripture over and over and over and over and over again makes it really clear he has no authority over you unless you come into agreement with him. And we come into agreement with him when we believe and speak the report of the earth, earth's report. You see, I believe that Jesus got rid of the disciples before the woman showed up, and we know why, because after they went to Sychar, brought Jesus back food, this woman's life's been transformed, but Jesus, as a Jewish boy, is not supposed to be speaking to a woman, much less a Samaritan woman, much less this Samaritan woman. Nobody else in the village talked to her. That's why she went to get water at the middle of the day. She quit that a long time ago. And when they show up, it says in this chapter, the first thing they're discussing among themselves quietly is they were tempted to say, why are you speaking to him? And then to him, what are you doing speaking to her? And Jesus looks at them and he says, lift up your eyes, boys. Don't you understand what's going on? This person was a field wanting to harvest. Her heart was ready. But I got rid of you because I knew you weren't ready to see that yet. Because you still think and speak Earth's report about people and about situations. See, what you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. Let me just say this to you. What you confess with your mouth is what you believe in your heart. We said 2 weeks ago, Jesus lived above the fall. He's called us to live by faith is to carry the mind of Christ and to only believe and speak heaven's report. In my union with Christ, his report about a person. You know what it says about God in Romans 15, 13? Shocking. He's a God of hope. So if your conversation about somebody doesn't carry hope, it's not God. If your conversation about a situation or circumstances or a temptation, it isn't filled with hope, then it's not God. See, one of the things I love that they said, which is so true, you see, from the earth's perspective, those who are of the earth, speak of the earth, they would say, that's the worst place you'd ever want to live, is Paris. But you see, God's spoken some words. He's sown words from people from all over the world about France and revival. And anytime God speaks revival about a person or place, the enemy's always given permission to challenge, because God uses that to what? To prepare the heart. The hearts, the very environment. Let me remind you of this again. It's one of my coolest favorite places in this chapter. And for poor CTKers, we'll still be here probably 10 years from now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you're holding us up, Ron, as soon as you get this, we can go forward somewhere.
I know. I'm sorry. It's just a little slow.
That's the attitude we're after, Ron. Jesus said to them in verse 35, he said, don't you not say that there are 4 months and then comes a harvest? What's he referencing? What's just happened with this woman? And then comes a harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white for harvest, because the people from Sychar were coming. And Jesus said, already he who reaps and is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, this saying is true. One sows, one reaps. I sent you to reap, for you have not labored. Others have labored. You're entering their labor. Now again, without time to again explain this to you, what's the labor? Who did the sowing? You know, it's not the Old Testament saints, prophets. The Samaritans were heretics. Bad heretics. Like New Age Assyrian half-Jew heretics. So what was the labor? What was the sowing? And this woman, all the pain, all the brokenness, all the abandonment, all the rejection, all the shunning, all the stuff the enemy uses to kill, steal, and to destroy. Remember Genesis chapter 1? The Holy Spirit hovers over voidness and wildness and darkness, and he calls forth life. And when he's finished, God goes, very good. I believe with all my heart, that's what Jesus was saying. When you see a place, see, we've been taught, I was taught in evangelism, if you see somebody bouncing going, tell me about Jesus, tell me about Jesus, tell me about Jesus, tell me about Jesus, that's the field wanting to harvest. Now, when you see a broken person, when you see a place that seems too barren, that's a place that's desperate. That's the person, that's the place. Jesus saw things he had an overcomer's mind. He didn't see things from heaven's perspective. He saw things through the eyes of hope. He saw things in union with his Father. He didn't see just this woman. He knew her stuff, told her stuff, knew it better than anybody. But he never spoke anything into her life but hope.
Amen.
He saw a field, a heart white unto harvest. I can say this, I can't imagine any place more amazing to be than in France and in Europe right now. Because there are laborers at work. They're called Islamists and this and secularism and nonsense, preparing a people, and there's an emerging desperation coming forth.
Amen.
Out of the brokenness, out of the pain. See, that's the way Jesus sees things. That's what faith is like. When you have, make it practical. You walk into a situation or any circumstance. Do you see, do you think and speak that earth report? Oh my gosh, this is terrible. This is a disappointment. Oh, I'm going to be late. Oh, this is awful. Or do you see, think, and speak heaven's report? Lord, you're in control. You know exactly what you're doing. My timing's in your hands. You cause all things to work together for good. When temptation comes, what's heaven's report? Thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth. The temptation is not representing the truth. The truth is I've been set free from this already.
Hallelujah.
I got to walk it out, right? And we do that how? By faith. You come home from a long day, man or woman, You walk into a situation, the kids are wild, they're demanding attention, and what you have feelings, all your feelings are aligning because they're diseased. They're lining up with Earth's report. Out of our union with Christ, to see, to think, and speak heaven's report. This is an opportunity to draw from the love of Christ, to give by faith, thanking Him that He's your victory over impatience, over frustration, over selfishness. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, everybody? If you don't, see me after class. We'll put you into some private tutoring. He refused to believe or speak Earth's report. He only bore witness of what he saw and heard in union with his Father. We're to only bear witness of what we've seen and heard in our union with Christ. Why do we keep bearing witness as if we were independent agents when we're in union with Him? And even though Jesus carried all that the Father had by the Holy Spirit, that verse 34 says, He whom God has sent speaks the words of God about people and about situations. And the Spirit is given without measure. What happens is, when you and I bear witness of heaven's report, of the truth, truth sets you free. But what happens is when you find yourself in a situation, let's say, again, we use a stuck in traffic thing, and you're stuck in traffic, and that rising up in you, the murmuring, complaining, the fear, the panic, because you're supposed to be somewhere, got an appointment, somebody's liable to reject you, say something mad to you because you didn't get there on time. That's Earth's report. Those of the earth speak the things of the earth. But there's more to you than that. You're in union with Christ. How does Jesus see that? You're in union with Him. You have the mind of Christ. Speak heaven's report. Again, Lord Jesus, thank you so much that my times are in your hands. This is your situation, not mine. And I give thanks. What does it say, that ridiculous verse in Ephesians chapter 5? One of the manifestations of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you're singing and making, you're speaking and making melody in your heart to people. Your conversation sounds like songs and spiritual hymns to people. Because you're singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks to God the Father for all things. Wow. That's a radical life, right?
Amen.
Thanking Him that I'm stuck in traffic because I'm sent. And if it's His will for me to get there 10 minutes late, I'm sent. He has a reason for it. He knows what He's doing, right? And here's the deal. We've said this a lot lately around here. What you have heard, what you've heard and what you've seen and what you bear witness is what you manifest. You'll either manifest the anxiety and the fear and the defeat and the hopelessness of the earth, fallen man, or you'll speak into a situation just by saying thank you, even if you're the only one in the car, and it releases the Holy Spirit without measure into that place, even if it's just by yourself. Changes the whole atmosphere, doesn't it? Faith releases the Holy Spirit without measure. What we see and hear is what we manifest. What do you see and hear? What is it that you see and hear all the time? You know, it says this amazing thing. I think we quoted this the other day, but I'll read this to you. From James. And those of you who are worried about time, we'll do it right, but we'll be creative about Eucharist. As an archbishop, I can do that, be creative. But it'll be the real deal for any visitors who are fearful. It'll be real. Yes. Yeah, but see, you guys are here having fun. The people who live here, They have to put up with this, and so with me. And, <laughs> Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and his gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom, to have arrogance or bitterness or complaining or griping or criticizing, this wisdom is not that which comes from above, but it's earthly and fleshly and demonic. When we see and hear the enemy's report about any situation or about any person, we release a demonic atmosphere. But when we see and hear out of our union with Christ, heaven's report, who's from above is what? Above all. Jesus thought like an overcomer. He didn't just see a broken woman. He saw a heart ready for harvest. He saw a true worshiper. This will transform your conversations with each other. How do you speak? What do you see and hear about other people? What do you bear witness? Hope? Or demonic stuff, criticism, and you understand what I'm saying? I don't think the Trinity sits around and talks bad about people. Jesus doesn't talk bad about you, then why would he want me in union with him to talk bad about you? He would like for me to... I might know your stuff. Jesus knew her stuff, but he only spoke hope into her life. And it released the Spirit without measure. Brings in the anointing of heaven. It's transformational. For those of you who've heard me over the years, I wanted to share it this way this morning because it just helps us rethink again about this issue of faith. It's not about positive confession. Jesus himself said, what you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. One more. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Even if you're just speaking to yourself, even if it's just spoken in your mind, the point being what you've seen and heard is what you bear witness of, and what you bear witness of is what you manifest. Is it earth's report, or is it flawed of your union with Jesus? And that's in every situation, every temptation, every relationship, every circumstance. And I'll just tell you about ministry. It'll transform your understanding of opportunity. For those of us who live in the sacramental world, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. We call things sacred space, and they should never be disrespected. Play and silliness shouldn't happen. But we treat it like human beings aren't welcome there. You need to understand that the most broken human being in the world inhabits right between their two feet the most sacred space to God. That's heaven's report. So look for fields that are white in the harvest. Release the Spirit without measure. Hope is the very anchor of your soul. Hope gives birth to active faith. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I actually went longer than I wanted to. Not near as long. I went longer than I thought I was. Not near as long as I wanted to. If my brothers who will come and do what you do...